It is normally claimed that fashion in clothes has its origins in the late medieval period, possibly early in the Renaissance, perhaps in connection with the growth of mercantile capitalism. The usual argument is that one cannot talk about fashion in Greek and Roman antiquity in the sense we do today, because there was no individual taste in the choice of clothing, even though there were certain possibilities for variation. European clothing had changed relatively little from the Roman age to the 14th century. Although there had, of course, been variations in clothing regarding materials and details, to all intents and purposes, the form of clothes remained unaltered. Broadly speaking, rich and poor wore clothing of similar form, although rich people had their clothes made of more expensive materials and decorated themselves with ornaments. The impulse to decorate oneself is by no means a recent phenomenon. In human history, but what people decorated themselves with in the pre-modern world had nothing to do with fashion. The Vikings, for example, were very preoccupied with their appearance, and it was usual to have, among other things, a comb hanging from a belt that also included symbols of rank. But there were no Viking fashions. Pre-modern societies are conservative. People in such societies can wear simple or sophisticated decorations and can be enormously preoccupied with aesthetical phenomena. But it is a recurring characteristic that, for example, hairstyles, clothes, and jewelry remain more or less unaltered for generations. The Romans of antiquity were vain, with both men and women using makeup and perfume, and with their hair dyed and curled, if they did not use a wig. But such styles were also long-lasting. A style from one country might occasionally become popular in another, leading to a sudden change of style, as when the Greeks began. To remove their beards. In order to resemble Alexander the Great. Such a change of style, however, does not need to be referred to as a fashion, for the Greeks subsequently retained their shaven cheeks and chins. What happened was that one long-lasting aesthetic norm was replaced by another, without further changes, apparently, having been wished for or even considered. In order to be able to talk of fashion, it is not sufficient for a change to take place on rare occasions. It only becomes a fashion when this change is sought for its own sake and takes place relatively frequently.